I invite children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. One of the things that we haven't been doing in a while is trying to have you sit still and be quiet while the person is talking, okay? We're glad that you are all here and we like your creative responses, but you're going to get, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to get up and walk around. But until then, can you sit just like you are right now? You're doing great. How many of you have stuffed animals at home?
I have a lot.
You have a lot?
I have a lot.
I don't have very many, so I borrowed someone's. I got 10 stuffed animals from a friend. Let's see, what is this?
Teddy bear.
A teddy bear? What's this?
Teddy bear.
How many is that? One, two. What's this?
Dog.
A dog.
Three.
Three. What's that?
Marshall puppy.
Okay, another dog, a Marshall.
Kitty.
Oh, I thought that was a dog and they corrected me. That's how many, we're at five? Oh, what's this?
Monkey.
You guys are pretty good. How many is that?
Bear.
A bear, but how many?
Bear.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. What's this? A horse? What's this?
A bear.
A bear, but not just any bear.
Teddy bear.
It's a teddy bear. It says Defiance College on it. Okay? So I brought 10. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I lost one. Lainey, do you know where it's at? Would you get that for me? Oh, you were supposed to get up and find it, but I saw Lainey already saw it. It's Winnie the Pooh. And that is that 10?
Yeah.
I borrowed these from my future daughter-in-law. And if I lost one, I think I was going to be in big trouble. So I'm glad that you found it for us. There were 10. We had 9, I lost one, and you found it. It fell out of the bag, evidently, and you found it for me. So we're all back together. I share this because in the parables that we heard read from the Bible this morning, in Luke, Jesus is interacting with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, people like pastors and leaders in the church, and they did not like that Jesus was eating with sinners. He was talking with sinners, and they didn't think they should do that. And so Jesus gave them the parables, the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd had 99 sheep together, but there was one missing. And the shepherd went out and to find. It was out and lost in the country. And the shepherd found it, and when he found it, he rejoiced, and he put it on his shoulders and took it home. And Jesus says that's what it is like in the kingdom of God, that God searches for us. And it's greater when one sinner repents. There's greater rejoicing in heaven when the lost has been found than there is for 99 who are righteous who don't need to repent. Now, what's that?
There were 100 sheep,
99 were together, and one was lost.
Maybe he went on a train.
Maybe he went on a train, possibly. But he got lost, but the shepherd went and looked for it and found it. And in our lives, are there times we do things that God doesn't want us to do?
No.
That's good. Sometimes maybe we tell a little lie. Maybe sometimes we hit somebody that we're not very happy with. Those are times when we stray and we could be considered lost. But God is near and he wants to come and find us and he wants to forgive us and make us whole so that we're part of the flock, the part of the sheep once again. So when we make a mistake, when we sin, we have to recognize that and ask God to forgive us, and he restores us, he rescues us. And we have been found. Let's pray. We could do that. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for these children. We thank you for the ways that they are being taught at home and here at church and elsewhere to know that you are our God. Help us not to do the things that are wrong, but when we do, Lord, we ask for forgiveness, and we thank you that Jesus finds us. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
Let us rise as we are able to sing of grace greater than our sin, number 201.
After the 8 o'clock service, I was told I have to be more careful. When I put the bag of stuffed animals in the pew, there was a bear that was looking just over the pew and giving an evil eye to somebody. So I didn't want to do that and make you worry all service long. I also would share that after the 8 o'clock children's lesson, one of the young children helped me put all the animals back in the bag. I was expecting someone to help, but they had other things to do. And I said, "Well, you do that at home, don't you?" And she said, "No." I bet you she will today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your holy word, and we pray that in this time of teaching and listening, Lord, may your spirit be active and present upon us, that we would just continue to grow deeper in our relationship with you, thanking you for the honor, thanking you for the blessing of knowing you through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is the fifth and final sermon based on the teachings of Jesus in that resource, the Essential Bible Guide. It's appropriate because this is the fifth and final Sunday of the season of Lent this year. But going back 5 weeks in time, that first Sunday was, the sermon title was Radical Happiness, based out of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 6. And the theme of radical happiness shared how Jesus points us to the perfection of God. If a person could live as Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, a person would never hate, slander, or speak evil of another person. If a person could live as Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, one would never lust in their heart or mind, nor covet anything. If a person could live as Jesus teaches in his Sermon on the Mount, one would never make a false oath and always be completely truthful. The second Sunday, the sermon was The Audience of One, again from the Sermon on the Mount, this time from Matthew 6 and 7. And it was a reminder of how Christians are to live to exalt and glorify God. To exalt and glorify God alone, not to glorify ourselves. We live to love. We live to serve. We live to honor the Lord. Third Sunday, the title of the sermon was D-Day for Sin in the Parable of the Weeds in Matthew 13. A lesson on how Jesus invaded the earth with his mercy and with his grace, and then in his public ministry, how Jesus liberated more and more people from sin and expanded his kingdom on earth. And that through his death on the cross, Jesus opened the way for everyone to enter into his kingdom. And that fourth Sunday, last Sunday, the sermon title was The Uncommon Deed, the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10. And it was a call for Christians to live uncommonly, where we are to be looking for and also creating ways to help others. This morning, we consider a message that, as we think about it, we could or should place this message at every entrance door of the church. The sign to read, Sinners Welcome. Sinners Welcome. Is that true? Are sinners welcome in the church? A social media post shared this message. I hear people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And they are absolutely right. Salvation is through faith alone, in Christ alone. But you don't have to go home to be married, but stay away long enough and your relationship will be affected. I spent some time thinking about that post. I saw it on social media and then Jocelyn sent it to me because it struck her as well. And I sat there and then, the third comment was an astounding view of what people look at the church. But when I went back to do my sermon, that third comment was gone. But here are four other responses to that post. The worldview of a church is law-based with ridiculous man-made rules that push condemnation and judgment instead of the beautiful love and freedom of Christ. You get to wrestle with that one. The worldview of the church. People outside the church, maybe people inside the church, look at the church, the universal Christian church, not just St. John's, that it's a ridiculous man-made rules that push condemnation and judgment. In the aspect of, are sinners welcome here? And then instead of that, they want the beautiful love and freedom of Christ. And that's where much of the world has gone to. It's about love and freedom. We get to do whatever we want. Ask the confirmands. We talked about it this morning. We still must obey the Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. Second comment, when I discovered that the company of believers did not worship the God of love, my relationship with God won out over going to church. The company of believers did not worship the God of love. Kind of going back to that judgment kind of thing. And they chose to do their relationship with God outside the church. And then two more. Church is full of fakes. Bad news. Is that true? Are you fakes? I know I'm not. What are they getting at? It's that accusation from outside the church about we are hypocrites. We bear the name of Christ. We know how we're supposed to act, and yet we sin. We recognize that we're sinners, and we come into the church, we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ because we know that we can't live on our own. We need the power of the mercy of Christ in our hearts. And then the last one, people that go to church are the most judgmental people that you'll ever run across. Is that true? Interesting views of the church, aren't they? I wonder about that last one. I wonder if the person that posted that understood that they were judging people in the church. See, that's the problem with, you know, pointing out the sin of others. You got that sin coming back at you. I enjoy social media. I never post anything, but I enjoy learning what is out there. I wonder what they expect the church to be. What do we expect the church to be? The Essential Bible Guide shares that Christians get off track when they view the church as a club for those who have it all together. See, the church is supposed to be a club where we're perfect. We have no sin in our lives, and so we're this country club kind of church. That's what many Christians believe the church is, and that is obviously wrong. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had this view in verses 1 and 2 of our reading. In Luke 15, 1 and 2, it said, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered, they complained, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Earlier in Luke's gospel, in Luke 5, 30 through 32, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were complaining to the disciples of Jesus, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What is the church? The church are sinners who desire repentance and forgiveness, because that's who Jesus has called. That is Jesus goes out to find. The Essential Bible Guide described Jesus' image of the church as more like a lost and found bin. We can be lost and we can be found. 6 months later, 6 minutes later, we can be lost and we can be found. That Essential Bible Guide derives this from these parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. The whole reason Jesus came to earth was to reclaim the lost, to reclaim and offer compassion to broken people. And the Pharisees just didn't get it. So I think it's important that we both consider and accept the message for the church. Sinners, welcome. Show of hands, should we put that on the digital sign out front? It doesn't require a majority. The people that are in charge of that, it's not me. They saw what just happened there, so maybe that'll come up sometime. And then be prepared to answer questions. There is to be no sense of perfection in us. No sense. There's a lot of humor about that on social media and in discussions, but there is to be no sense of perfection in us. We have to each realize that we each fall short in our interactions with people and how we can get sidetracked and fail to respond appropriately in any given situation or conversation. The only way to come before the Lord is to recognize that we are a sinner. And we confess our sin. And we repent, we turn away from our sin, and we seek forgiveness and rely upon the mercy of Christ and the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. I am thankful for the countless times in my life when the Good Shepherd, he left the 99 and he came to search for me. Think of the efforts of the shepherd in the story. He still has responsibility for those 99. And yet, he goes off to find that one. He's concerned about those 99, so he's going quickly. He's not meandering. He's searching intently. I can envision he's climbing on top of rocks or maybe climbing a tree so he can see farther around him. But he's looking behind those trees and those rocks, behind those bushes, maybe in some caves, until he finds that lost sheep. And there's not condemnation, there's joy. There's joy. And the shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulder and goes home. Think about that in terms of the Good Shepherd, of Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't heap condemnation upon that person that he's found that has been lost, but Jesus celebrates and there's joy. Think about the sacrifice that the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ went through for each and every person. He suffered at the hands of the Romans. He faced ridicule by the Jews. He endured the agony of carrying his own cross through the streets. He gave himself up through the horror of the crucifixion. Agony. Effort. Sacrifice. Why? It's one of the blessings of a good evening, Good Friday evening service. We wrestle with the why of the cross. It's very easy. Jesus died to save the lost. He died to save the lost. And we cannot take that sacrifice for granted. It should move us to have a strong desire to worship and to praise, to serve, and to glorify God. As I read this passage from Luke 15, I was struck by part of the lesson shared in verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Huh. 99 persons who do not need to repent. We have to be careful. We have to be very careful with this thought. The thought of realizing there are righteous people in the world. There are Christians who are devout, Christians who love the Lord, Christians who humbly serve the Lord. The righteous are in our midst. But I caution that we have to be careful with that line of thought. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, looking at verse 9. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. But Jesus in Luke 15 talks about the 99 righteous. But Paul writes, there is no one righteous. He goes on, all have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Not a very good description. And so Jesus came to seek the lost. And then in verse 21 of Romans 3, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. That's the good news. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ, and we have to be open to the righteousness that comes from God. And because of that righteousness from God, that righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ, the lost are sought after, the lost are found, and the lost are brought into relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. In these two parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, the shepherd and the woman, they can symbolize for us the good shepherd. The good shepherd Jesus doing everything possible to find the lost. They go looking. They go searching. They search the countryside. They search the entire home. They're racing from one place with a sense of urgency to another as they search. They're anxious to find that which has been lost. Are we there yet? Are we anxious in our searching to find the lost? I don't really think we have to put sinner's welcome on the sign or on the door. What we have to do is go out and do the searching. We have to go out and find the lost. We have to have that courage and that conviction. I know I am thankful all of the time of the people that helped rescue me from my lostness. And that challenges us, that challenges me to go out and do likewise. That is the call of the gospel. Tom, you want to pull up that come to the table, please? That's why I left during, I had to go up there and say, be prepared for this. Go another slide. One more. Wow. Read those words. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior, sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come join the sinners. Who's in the church? Sinners. How do others know to come? Now, I didn't recognize any of the people posting those comments. And who knows where they are in social media. But we have to go out and welcome them. We have to go out to the lost. We have to go out to those that have been hurt by the church or hurt by a Christian. We have to go out and welcome them to come to the table. Amen.
Let us continue our worship with the sharing of our tithes and offerings. I invite the ushers to come forward. O Lord, we do praise you, and with a heart of gratitude, we present these offerings. Lord, we're thankful for all that you've done. And Father, we just ask that you would take these offerings and these gifts and use them to further your kingdom, to reach out to any who might need to hear your good word in this area, in this nation, in this world. We place these in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is number 184, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. After the benediction, we'll sing number 13, Bless His Holy Name.
Yeah.
May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Amen.